everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 15. It's gonna be fantastic, by the way. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I am joined by Matt Desmond.
This is the big blowout episode filled with giveaways and comments and just all sorts of good stuff.
Absolutely. So we're really excited to get started here. I'm not going to tell y'all what we're doing today. We're just going to, you know, kind of go with it. Don't worry, we have notes. We have a direction. We'll be talking about the Nintendo Direct Micro, of course, and then, you know, kind of we're just going to see where we go from there. But first, we want to actually right here live, not that we're live, but as we are recording the podcast, we are going to be drawing the name of the winner of Get Close giveaway code number one.
Yes, this is, of course, the only way that you could have entered this one is by, if you're following either me, Holly, or the Nintendo Fever Twitter account, we made a tweet out that says, if you'd like for your chance to win the game Get Close, then all you have to do is use the hashtag WinGetClose and tell us what your favorite Mario Brothers game is, and then you'd instantly be entered into the drawing. That's all you had to do, and these are the three people that actually did that. We have Jason, Doug, and Mike. Jason said that his favorite version of Super Mario Brothers, at least the one that he picked for this, was Super Mario 3D World. And I have to agree, that game was fantastic. I enjoyed it. Were you a fan of this one, Holly?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what it is with Mario games, but, you know, I'm a huge RPG fan, and Mario games aren't exactly that super in-depth experience that you can just lose yourself in. And yet, I can just play a Mario game and beat it and not even know where that time went. Like, I'm like, I just spent like 20 hours beating this game and like getting all the darn collectibles, and I don't even know how I did that, because it's not like a Monster Hunter or a Xenoblade Chronicles where I just kind of am immersed in it completely. So that was a great game. I'd probably go with Super Mario Galaxy personally, though. Such a good one.
Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 are some of the best Mario games ever. We also had a guy named Doug on Twitter, and he said that his favorite Mario Brothers game is the Super Mario Brothers for the Super Nintendo, so Super Mario World, and you cannot go wrong with that game. Like, that game is probably one of the very few games that you could consider a masterpiece or a 10 out of 10 or just a perfect video game from start to finish, from the opening. If you just sit there and watch the opening segment, you know, the little like pre-recorded gameplay footage that they have, like, I remember just sitting there and watching how far that went back when I was a kid. Like, it is so much fun to play. It's so much fun to watch others play. And the secrets in that game are bar none some of the best in video game history.
Yep, pretty much ditto on all of that. Donkey Kong Country is a good contender against it, though, but we'll get into that again at a later date, possibly when we have a person to interview and we have to ask him that question.
But we do. That's the interview question. That's the only question that matters, the only one. And then also Mike Fulham on Twitter also hit us up. He said, after all these years, I still head back to my favorite Mario game of all time, the original NES Super Mario Brothers. We have a really good mix here of Mario games that was picked for this, and I think it's so cool that, like, even though we only had the three people, Mario is such a variety of games that each one of them picked a different game. And I think the NES Classic obviously means a lot to me. It means a lot to all gamers, especially the ones that grew up with Nintendo. But the fact that he went ahead and picked this as his favorite one, I think says a lot about how well that game still stands up. It's crazy because it's such a smaller package compared to any of the other Mario games, but it is still so good and easy to play, simple to pick up. It's a great game all around.
Yep, pretty much ditto again.
But let's go ahead and draw the names. Holly, you have a hat or a cup or something with pieces of paper on it, and you're just going to draw a random name, correct?
Yes, I am. So this is the moment of truth. I have to describe the circumstances here. I am using a roll of packaging tape, and then I folded some sticky notes in half with the names on them. And they are in this little roll of packaging tape. So that's kind of like how this is going. Okay, I got my eyes closed. I am shuffling the names around a little bit. There's only three, so I could probably, if I didn't shuffle them, kind of remember which was which. So here we go. Here we go. And don't worry, we will tweet you just in case it just so happens you don't listen to the podcast for some reason. We will also tweet you, of course, to give you the code and all. But we have the winner as Doug Klein. So,
Doug, congratulations, Doug. Awesome choice with the Super NES version of Super Mario World. It's a great game, and this game as well, Get Close, is a very, very awesome, fun game, and I really think you're going to enjoy it.
Yep, so the podcast, of course, as always, will be published on Monday. We will probably sometime Monday morning or maybe in the evening, just so you can listen to the podcast and have that excitement, hopefully. We will send you a tweet with the code for
and
Get
then,
Close.
And then you'll probably want to follow me on Twitter. I'll just tell you right now that I'll follow you. You follow me. You don't have to keep following me if you don't want to. And I will send you that code, just so you know, Doug.
All right. So, code number two. Can we tell the listeners how that one is going to be distributed? They probably already know because I'm going to put this in the description of the podcast and we're going to hype it up.
Well, some people don't always read that. So maybe there's for those few people that don't read it, they're going to be the ones that are be like, oh, wow, cool. There's going to be another giveaway because there is one more giveaway today and then another giveaway next week as well. Because we just love to give things away here at Nintendo Fever. So let's wait a little bit into the podcast, but a little bit into the podcast, I'm going to actually read off a code for Get Close that you can enter into your Wii U, and the very first person to enter it will be the person that wins it. That's basically how it works. You enter it, first come, first serves. But we're going to get into the show just a little bit, I think, and then we'll read that off in just a bit.
All right, that's a good idea. Next week's code will be given away based on emails that we have sent to us, so keep that in mind for episode 16 of the podcast coming next week.
Yes, all you have to do is email us a question. We'll explain how you email us and all that kind of fun stuff towards the end of the show. But let's go ahead and get into it.
Yeah, let's start with our recent swag section. I'll just briefly let y'all know. I didn't get any unexpected recent swag. I did get my Lucina amiibo. Thanks again, Mike. And I did get my Inkling Girl amiibo. Both of them are really awesome amiibo. I love the Lucina one. Her face, like a lot of the humanoid characters' amiibos, like sometimes their faces look a little off.
Like Ike?
Ike isn't actually as bad as Marth, if you ask me.
Ike is pretty bad. When I got him in the mail and I looked at him, I'm like, this looks very peculiar.
Well, Lucina does not look bad at all. Lucina looks great. I love the detail, and I love how Lucina looks, so I'm very happy with that. Inkling Girl amiibo, very cool. I love the, like, kind of ink splatter at the bottom of her feet, and I'm sure that's how Inkling Boy is. And haven't seen the squid, an actual squid amiibo either, but I'm sure it's just as cool. So those are some really neat, cool amiibos. The only complaint I would have with the Inkling Girl amiibo is that, and this is just so the parts, I guess, can fit together, but she's got this, like, line across the top of her head that is a little bit...
Really?
Like, why did they have to put that there?
Is it supposed to be, like, a headband?
No, it's not. It's like a little kind of, a crease, I guess, kind of where the parts fit together.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's the only complaint I have there. Other than that, really awesome amiibo, so... And as far as physical things go, that pretty much wraps up my recent swag for this week. So, yay, swag.
Well, once again, I'm just covered in swag. I have swag all over, basically. So, number one and most important of them all is I did get my Game Boy Micro in the mail, and I got a charger for about $5. So, this bad boy cost me under $60, cost me $55, and I'm so happy that I was able to get it for under $60 because that was my golden number. I didn't want to spend more than $60 on this, and I'm just happy that I was able to fulfill that goal that I had. Unannounced to me, when they sent me the Game Boy Micro, it actually came with a game inside of it already, which was kind of cool.
Did you know that this would happen?
I had no idea. Because all in the listing, all it said was Game Boy Micro. It didn't say Game Boy Micro plus game.
Nice.
Or anything like that. So yeah, it's a pretty cool find. It's Tetris Worlds.
Okay.
For the
all right.
Game Boy Advance. And it's actually a pretty cool version of Tetris because you're actually like, the world is like evolving as you're playing the game and it just kind of looks cool. It's Tetris. And I love Tetris. Tetris is a great game. Next. I was able to snag a PlayStation 2 game, WWE SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, just a really good wrestling game that I've always been a huge fan of, and this is one of the best versions of it. I was able to get two PlayStation Vita games for a ridiculously good price, $5 a piece. I got Tearaway, And I also got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Ooh. Yes, a very good price on both of those, especially considering they were $5 a piece. So that's great.
Yep.
Then I got 3 Wii games. The first one I got was DJ Hero. The second one I got was DJ Hero 2. Now, I got both of these for under $1 because they did not come with the turntable. I already have a turntable. I actually lost my copy of DJ Hero. So I have, it's just been sitting around doing nothing. So now I have DJ Hero 1 and 2, and I got it for $2, and I already have the turntable, so I'll be able to use it. So, and then the final game, I know I got a lot of good swag this week.
Absolutely.
This is the final game. I got another Wii game for $5. I thought that was a pretty good price for it. It's called Mushroom Men The Spore Wars. Did you ever hear about this game, Holly?
I did not. Not at all.
So this was made from a company named Redfly Studios, and it was published by South Peak Games. South Peak Games on the DS and the Wii really tried to make a big push for putting out original content and some really unique stuff. They're the ones who've actually published Dementium The Ward, made by Renegade Kid. The first one was published by Gamecock. The second one was published by South Peak. Or maybe I'm completely wrong on that. You know what? Don't quote me on anything I just said. But this game, Mushroom Men, The Spore Wars, was supposed to be a pretty decent game. It got a lot of hype. This was actually a quote that's on the box, and I want to read this because I think it's amazing, okay? Best game for the Wii since Mario Galaxy.
Oh, dear.
That is the quote on this box, and it was Play Magazine that actually made that quote.
Okay.
So, I'll be honest. I'm
going to trust them again.
I am pretty much jacked to play this game because I have to play the best game on the Wii since Mario Galaxy, right?
So did you play it?
I have not played it yet. That's on my to-do list. That's
okay,
on my to-do list.
Yeah, one of these other days, you'll have to talk about that one and let us yeah. know if it's actually as good as Super Mario Galaxy.
Yes, I will tell you guys all the in-depth review of Mushroom Men, The Spore Wars.
All right. So as far as recent swag sections go, that was great. I got what I wanted, right? Which is saying something for me. And that whole, like, a game came with your Game Boy Micro that you didn't expect, that's fantastic. So
yes.
I'd rate that recent swag section really high up on the ranking of
yeah.
them.
Don't expect any recent swag maybe for the next 2 weeks. Otherwise, my wife might kill me. So I think I kind of spent my allowance for video games for a little while.
I'll have to step it up then. But
there you go. Exactly.
You guys can wait and see how that goes. So talking about what we've been playing now, Matt, anything good on your end?
So I wanted to get a Game Boy Micro for my Game Boy Advance collection that I've been kind of building up. And some of the games that I've been playing is, one of my favorite games for the Game Boy Micro, or for the Game Boy Advance in general, was the Tony Hawk games that came out for the Game Boy Advance. They were always very well done, and they were really, the graphics were really unique, and just a lot of fun. So I've been playing Tony Hawk Underground a little bit, just kind of going through the missions on that, and it's just a fun game overall. It's a lot different than I remember from back in the day when I used to play it on Game Boy Advance, obviously. It's not quite as good as I remember, sadly. It's still fun, just not as unique as I remember it being, I guess. I played a little bit of Tetris just because it's Tetris. But I'm a huge wrestling fan, professional wrestling fan, and one of the professional wrestling games series that's just like a really good wrestling series is called Fire Pro Wrestling. And I was able to find a copy of Fire Pro Wrestling for the Game Boy Advance a while ago. And even though I played it on my fat Game Boy Advance, you know, with the non-backlit light and all that kind of stuff, it just wasn't as good. So I really wanted to sink my teeth into playing it on my Game Boy Micro. And I'm here to tell you that it still holds up. I put a ton of time into it. I've just been going through the semi-season mode that's kind of in it. It's just more of a tournament mode than it is of anything else. But it's been a lot of fun. And I've played that, and then a ton of Splatoon, obviously. I'm still enjoying it. I didn't get to play with the paintbrush that just recently released, but that's my goal for later today.
All right. Sounds like a pretty well-rounded what you've been playing.
Yes, having a portable that's this small is going to allow me to play my Game Boy Advance game so much easier because it just fits in your pocket so well. And
it's like smaller than a flip phone, even.
It's so small. I just wish that there was a dedicated sleep button on this. If there was a sleep button that is similar to the way the Nintendo, the DS or the 3DS works, this system would be, I don't even know what to say. Like, I could take this to work and not worry about it, because I could just, like, be playing it in the back room. And then when, like, my boss comes, just hit the sleep button and put it in my pocket and not worry about it. That's what I want.
Well, it is a tiny, tiny little screen. I think that's the biggest complaint that people have had about it. Super tiny screen. So
small screen, but the resolution is still decent on it. So it just
it
looks
great.
Good. It does.
Yeah. So for what I've been playing, I have unfortunately... So I have two part-time jobs, and one of them is at a library, the public library in my tiny little town of 2,000 people. And one of my coworkers this week took an entire week off of work. I had tons of extra hours there. Plus, my other part-time job is as an English tutor at a college. And this week, they started what they call the college launch program. And so I had tons of hours for tutoring, and I did not have a whole lot of time to play what I wanted to, Splatoon. So what I played was a little bit more Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate and The World Ends With You, and only in those, you know, small little, you know, gaps where I had a little bit of free time, or, you know, at tutoring, sometimes tutoring can actually get a little slow, but I can't very well bring my Wii U with me. So I played more of Monster Hunter than anything this week. It's a great game. So is The World Ends With You, so definitely both of those are recommended from me. When it comes to Monster Hunter, just be prepared. People tell you this all the time, and it is true. Be prepared to have to learn a lot, but be prepared for an extremely addicting and in-depth and super complex, awesome RPG experience once you get past that difficulty curve. So there you have it for Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate.
Now, I know you're a huge fan of also, obviously, Xenoblade Chronicles, and you're a big fan of Xenoblade Chronicles 3D when it went portable. Which of those two games do you feel is more addictive? Because they are slightly similar. I mean, obviously they're different games, but there is small similarities between them. Would you say a little?
Well, yeah, they're both RPGs, but they're both vastly, vastly different types of RPGs.
Do you think that if somebody enjoys Xenoblade Chronicles, they would also enjoy Monster Hunter, or do you think someone who enjoys Monster Hunter would enjoy Xenoblade Chronicles? Like, do you think those two go head to head?
I would not say so. It's like I say, the styles are completely different. If you love RPGs, yeah, you'll probably love both of them. But if you're kind of picky about your RPGs, you might like one over the other, I would say.
Do you have a one that you prefer over the other?
As far as an overall package goes, definitely Xenoblade Chronicles.
Okay.
That game, you know, great story, great voice acting, an amazing battle system. It is very well-rounded, and it's a nice, complete, solid package. Monster Hunter is definitely rough around the edges. I still, you know, have put, let's see, I think when I last checked, I had put 150-something hours into 4 Ultimate. Wow. So I'm getting way up there into hours. And I, you know, I had about 300 hours on 3 Ultimate, and so... As far as replay value goes, I actually think Monster Hunter kind of wins because, you know, you get to a point in Xenoblade Chronicles, especially on your third playthrough, which is what I'm on, and it's like, yeah, this is getting a little bit old. I'm still going to beat the 3D version. I am so close to doing that. But as far as, like, replay value and wanting to go back to a game again and again, Monster Hunter actually wins it.
Now, I've kind of heard this not debate or argument, but this kind of point brought up is that Monster Hunter is kind of like boss battle after boss battle after boss battle.
That is something that people kind of compare it to. That sort of is how it goes. You do have to, like, with each monster that you face, with each large monster that you face, you kind of have to learn their fighting style a little bit, and you have to learn how to use your own fighting style and weapon choice effectively against them. So, yes, it is a pretty apt description, but it's not like... It's not like Zelda or Mario boss battles.
Yeah, yeah. And
those are not bad, good comparisons.
Yeah, and these boss battles are also the kind of boss battles we were talking about, I think, last week, where, like, a single boss battle will take you a half hour because there's so much health that you're trying to chuck away at.
In Monster Hunter, yeah, it is the health that is the big thing. It's not like... like in Mario or Splatoon we were talking about last week, where basically the time that you, all that time that you spend trying to beat the boss, a lot of it is actually spent learning. Just trying to kind of figure out how to do it. In Monster Hunter, it's more like the monsters just have tons of health, large monsters, that is. And depending on how good your equipment is and what the large monster is, there's actually a huge variety of, like, time. There's a huge, like, range of time that it might take you to defeat certain monsters. Like, once you get super good equipment later on in the game that's really powerful, taking out an older, or, you know, one of the initial monsters, like a Great Jaggy, everyone who has played the game knows what that is. That is like nothing. It'll take you like a few minutes at the most to defeat that. But then, you know, there are like 70 something, I think, large monsters in this game. And so there are a tons of variety, tons of different types of monsters, tons of like little styles that monsters have that you have to kind of learn. And it's a good thing. So I guess when I hear people say, it's like boss battle after boss battle. It's almost like they're saying, it's almost like other people looking in from the outside are going to think like, well, that sounds kind of, you know, repetitive and dumb. Like, isn't there anything else to the game? It's a very good thing, though. It is super fun to play this game, especially online with other people. So,
yeah, I will one day get into a Monster Hunter game, and you'll have to help show me the ropes a little bit.
I can do that. So,
you'd enjoy that.
I would. I love, that's one of my favorite things to do, actually, is helping out other people. Even just strangers online, if they're trying to, you know, like, hunt a tough monster for them, and I'm a lot more powerful than they are, it's super fun to go and just try to help them out. That's why I don't, for those of you who are impatient that I am not up to G rank yet, that's why. I love helping the, I don't know what to call them, the less noobs. Fortunate. Sort of, yeah. You have to have some knowledge of the game, though, to try the multiplayer, though, just so you know. Don't dive right into that multiplayer, because people are not going to be able to teach you everything that there is to know just through that tiny little text chat system. And so just be careful. Do some of that single player first. So anyway, so that pretty much concludes what we've been playing. Let's talk about our feature this week, which is basically any and all things that came out of the Nintendo Direct Micro that, when did that hit? Oh, just like earlier this week, I guess.
It was Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah. I do feel like it's been kind of a long time. It's a little bit old news, but I'm sure we can find a topic or two to get in depth in.
There was a lot of news that came out of it, though, is the nice thing. And the thing that I liked about this Direct Micro, here's something we can look at from what we saw, and we can kind of help us look at E3. One, they want to announce as many smaller projects as possible so they can focus on bigger projects at E3. And I think that's one of the most important parts of this is we already know that there's now going to be, I'm just going to do a quick rundown of the games that they announced, okay? They announced a new Chibi Robo, a new Dr. Mario, a new Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Mario and Sonic at the Summer Olympics, the Art Academy full version, that's an eShop game, Project Treasure, they talked about a little bit more, LBX, which is Little Battlers Experience, which is basically custom Robo, I would just like to say, and I'm pretty excited for it, and also Bravely Second. There was 8 games that they discussed / announced that are going to be coming out. And that's a huge, huge plus for us as the Nintendo fans and gamers that are wondering, what's going to be coming? What do we have to look forward to? Not only do we know about these 8 games that are going to be coming out, but that also opens up E3. There's 8 less games that they need to talk about at E3, which is huge. Because if we even get 10 games, let's just say we get 2 more game announcements, 10 games on top of the 8, we're now sitting at 18 games that was announced in the same month. That's huge. That's a lot of games coming out.
Yeah, and it means that E3 it won't have those kind of small little boring moments. That is, you know, last year's E3 I thought was fantastic overall. But there were those moments where they kind of moved a little slow.
Where they were talking about fossil fighters?
Yeah, and I was like, okay. So Nintendo has basically gotten that out of the way, and I do think that says a lot about the final presentation that we are going to get during E3. But is there anything specific that you want to... I actually kind of want to touch on LBX, Little Battlers Experience. For one thing, I've never played Custom Robo. That was on the GameCube, right?
Yes, GameCube. And they also came out with, I believe, a DS game. I'm pretty sure.
Huh. Well, I'll have to... Maybe that's a game I'll have to try to get through Weep Trade. So I don't know much about Custom Robo at all. I guess the title kind of speaks for itself. Custom Robo, you're making custom robots?
Yes. Look up, just quickly on your Google, I'll talk for 5 seconds, because you have to just look up Custom Robo, because it looks exactly like this Little Battlers Experience. You put together pieces, you send them out and fight each other. It is the same game, and it's so exciting. Now, is this going to be a Nintendo-published game? I actually didn't catch if it was or not. If it is, let me see, it's LBX. I want to look that up, because I wonder if this is exactly similar. Now LBX is actually a TV show, right?
Yeah, the reason I wanted to touch on it is because I've done a little bit of research into it. It did look kind of intriguing to me, and so I thought maybe I'll do a little bit of research into this, and, I think it started out as a game in 2011, developed by Level 5 for the PlayStation Portable. Japan only, I believe. So okay. I guess you can go and possibly look that up. I don't think the PSP is region locked, so if you really wanted to try that out, you could do that. I kind of looked into it myself. And then there were just, you know, a few follow-up games. I think there were like 2 on the Vita, 2 on the PSP, 1 on the 3DS. I think Japan already has this game for the 3DS that we will be getting, I believe. I mean, gosh, there's not a whole lot of info out there on this series for some reason. But yes, there is an anime that came to Nicktoons last fall. I actually started watching it just to kind of see what the whole situation is. Completely cheesy show, but...
Okay, yeah.
It has some alright moments. It kind of, to me, is reminiscent of Pokemon, just because that's another kid's anime that I watch. But it just doesn't have the same charm. Old kids' TV shows just had a lot of quirkiness and charm and humor.
I think we're just getting older.
Maybe.
I think there's
the occasional thing where one of the characters cracks a joke or, you know, something funny happens, but not nearly as much as in Pokemon. That was like every 2 minutes you'd get some kind of humorous... funny thing in Pokemon, and that's just not really a thing anymore, sadly, but...
So it looks like this is published by Level 5, I would just like to say.
I think it's developed by Level 5, and I think it will be published by Nintendo, this 3DS game coming to the West.
Well, I just looked up this, so the one on the 3DS that is in Japan, it was released on October 31st, it was, developed and published by Level 5, so I would assume as well that it's going to be probably published by Nintendo in the West, just because they're handling a lot of those kind of publishing rights when it comes to bringing over series like this. But I am legitimately excited for this game. Like, this is not a game for me. Like, this is a game meant for, like, someone between probably 10 to 16, maybe? You know, somewhere kind
of... Maybe. I'd say 14.
Yeah, 14.
Especially after watching the cartoon.
I'm just trying to make myself feel better, because I'm totally going to get this. Because it looks like Custom Robo, and Custom Robo was a very good game. I'm excited to hear more about this game. And this is going to be an eShop only, I believe.
I didn't hear that.
Maybe I heard that, maybe not, which I would find interesting if... I wouldn't be surprised if this was, for some reason, an eShop only game. And it kind of opens up a lot of unique doors for games like this that are being... taken from the Japanese market and brought over here to the West. You know, the eShop allows people to do that kind of stuff very easily and with lower cost and lower risk is kind of the neat thing about it.
I'm pretty excited for it myself. There's even like a toy line. That's another one of those things that makes you realize this is for like 10-year-old boys. But,
yes.
it's an RPG series from Level 5. So that already makes me interested.
Yeah, exactly. So. Exactly. Chibi Robo, I want to know your history with Chibi Robo.
I have not played a single Chibi Robo game, but there is actually an issue of Nintendo Power magazine that came out, I think, in 2005. It's the first one that I got as part of my main, you know, my subscription. I got the 3 free issues for like joining Club Nintendo or whatever that was at the time, or registering a game, basically. I got 3 free issues of Nintendo Power. I finally subscribed to it, and the first issue I got. I think it's a little bit notorious for being super text heavy.
Yeah.
Or having a super text heavy cover, that is. But the one video game character on that cover is Chibi Robo. And they talked a lot about the first Chibi Robo for the GameCube in that issue. And so I have like this really weird nostalgic feeling for the Chibi Robo series, but I've never actually tried a Chibi Robo game. It always did sound fun when I read about it in that issue of Nintendo Power.
Now, Chibi Robo is a very unique game where you're a tiny little robot and you're kind of helping. So the original, that is, okay? Because this game, this newer one, is actually looking kind of different. And oddly enough, I heard somebody on Twitter refer to it as a new Castlevania game. And while watching the gameplay, I kind of saw what they meant. I don't think it looks that Castlevania-y. But the original one, you're a little robot.
There's a whip involved.
Yes, I think that's the only reason people said that was just because of the whip. But you're a little robot that's helping your, like, because you're a tiny robot living in a house with people. You don't see the people, but you're doing, like, these small tasks. You're cleaning up things, and it's just one of those, like, very, very Nintendo games. I mean, this is a Nintendo game to the utmost degree. It's a pretty fun game. I played more of the DS one that was actually exclusive to Walmart when it first came out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It was called Chibi Robo Park Patrol, and I remember buying that and playing it and thinking it was pretty fun. I wish I still had it today. But, yeah, Chibi Robo has a pretty unique history with Nintendo, and I'm glad to see that they're going to do something again with it.
Well, this is almost a bad thing, but they're making it even more Nintendo by making it into a platformer suddenly, and it's like, another one, really? Unless there is something really special and unique about it, and there's always the amiibo, I'm not that interested in this game, so sad but true.
Yeah.
It seems like it has kind of abandoned what made the original so unique and interesting. It's just a platformer now, and, you know, those are dime a dozen these days.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It does definitely look a lot more like just a platformer, which is sad. And, you know, I think, I don't know if they were afraid to make like another new, like a new Chibi Robo game. There was one that came out on the eShop that was an eShop only called Photo Finder, where you had to use the 3DS camera and you had to like match things up. And that looked kind of interesting. I never played it.
I do remember hearing about that one. It does seem kind of interesting, almost like a scavenger hunt.
But they have amiibo in it, and I think that's going to help sell it because amiibos still are pretty hot at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what this game does. But that's the neat thing about, once again, that's the neat thing about this micro direct that we got, is we got to hear about this game. I mean, would you have rather heard about this now or on E3 when it's taking away time from hearing about the new big, you know, hearing about Star Fox or hearing about Yarn Yoshi? Like, I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to hear about this, and it is going to come out, and it is more games. You know, that's nice and everything, but we didn't have to sacrifice time at E3 for this game.
Oh, yeah. I'm like pretty much probably everyone else out there in that, yeah, I think it was a very good idea for Nintendo to have announced it now instead of later. So another interesting thing that we got out of this Nintendo Direct Micro was Art Academy Home Studio, the Art Academy sketchpad. This is kind of like an extension of that, and it's an extension that Nintendo has promised for, like, what?
It's been
ever since the Wii U came out or something like that. So.
Yes, this is actually, I forgot about this. The other day I went onto the eShop because I never bought the sketchpad. But I was like, did this thing ever, like, update or upgrade itself to anything? I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it finally is now, sort of. I think that whether or not you have Sketchpad, like, even if you have Sketchpad, you're still going to have to pay the normal price.
I think this is not an upgrade to Sketchpad. This is just a brand new game that's coming out. Like, you have to pay for this in wholehearted cash.
Yep. Essentially, I am no artist, so I'm excited to see what other people can continue to create with this game. But other than that, I'm not interested at all in that one.
I think it's cool that it's coming out. I'm interested to see a little bit more information about it. But I do, my wife and my daughter have both kind of got into drawing and painting a little bit. So I think that I honestly might give this one a shot just for their benefit, and then I'll find more information out about it.
Yeah, the nice thing is that this one will actually include lessons, which Sketchpad didn't. And so for anyone who wants to learn a thing or two about art. I mean, this is pretty legitimate stuff. I mean, real art techniques and everything like that that you can learn. And people have created such amazing and detailed things.
Oh, it's
using
crazy.
Sketchpad that you know that even though this is like a stylus on a touch screen, it still is a pretty legit way to draw stuff and paint stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what other people create.
The things that I've already seen people do is just, honestly, it's been just, I can't fathom how people are able to draw that good on the gamepad. It blows my mind every time.
Yep, same here. So are there any other, are there any other, I'm just slurring my words together, don't worry, I haven't been drinking. I don't do that at all, in fact. Any other games that really caught your attention out of this Nintendo Direct Micro?
Well, before I hear your opinion on Bravely Second, because I definitely want to, and I know that that's what you're leading into.
well, sort of. I was actually looking at Dr. Mario Miracle Cure.
I was going to mention that.
I pre-downloaded that one already.
Did you? Are you a big Dr. Mario fan?
I am. I'm a pretty recent one, though. Probably the first time I really played Dr. Mario with a friend and had her teach me some strategy was, I'd say that was back in, I'm just going to throw out 2011, 2012-ish. That wasn't that long ago. I did not grow up playing Dr. Mario, but I've loved it ever since I was introduced to it. So,
did you play the NES version of it, or where did you start playing?
I've never played the NES version. The first game I played, I think I got this for free from Club Nintendo. Thank you, Club Nintendo. Dr. Mario Online RX on the Wii.
Okay, yes.
Which is a very good version of Dr. Mario, as far as I can tell.
Yes, it is a good version of it. I fell off the Dr. Mario wagon pretty early on. I really like the NES game, and I actually I play it all the time. I think it's a really good puzzle game, and I think it's a very unique puzzle game because it's not like Tetris. It's not like Puzzle League Express. It has its own unique version of puzzling tactics, and I think that it works really well. And this new one, I mean, I definitely am a little bit more intrigued about it than I have been in a long time.
Well, what made me really want to get it is that my sister has a 3DS of her own, and even if I'm the only one who has a copy, we can basically play
that was cool.
Whatever yeah. mode that we want together with just my copy of the game. So I'm like trying to pump her up about being able to play Dr. Mario together on the go.
I'm shocked that they're doing that, and listeners, if you did not hear, this has download play on it, and it sounds like the download play is basically like free multiplayer play.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Mario Party for the 3DS, which the entire multiplayer mode for the 3DS Mario Party game, totally free to play with friends as long as just one person has a copy of the game. So
I remember when they used to do the download play for the DS games, and I was like, oh man, this is one of the coolest aspects of DS games. This is so neat. But it didn't get supported a whole lot because the idea of releasing a game at the end of the day is hopefully other people will buy it, and one of the things that people would buy it for, maybe, is to play multiplayer. So it's pretty crazy that this game is so fully featured and allows you to play against other people with very limited need for all the people to play, to have a copy of the game. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's basically the reason I got it. And I like Dr. Mario, so there's that as well. But talking about Bravely Second,
yeah, I don't think there's anything else that really needs commented. I don't care about Mario Sonic at the Summer Olympics. It looks okay. Golf might be kind of fun, but I'm not going to buy it by any stretch. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Never played a Mystery Dungeon game from Pokemon. I don't really plan to.
I would not mind giving that series a shot, so I may just get that one.
Well, I do have a copy of the Game Boy Advance version of it, and now that I have a Game Boy Micro, maybe I'll give it a shot. But still, nothing about that really intrigues me. Let's go ahead and talk about... I just want to comment about Project Treasure real quick and just say that I'm interested to find out more information about it. It's free to start.
Is it?
Yes, that is a free to start game. I'm interested to see how they implement that scheme into Project Treasure, how it will work. It looks like just a four-person loot-based. Reminds me a lot of like Left 4 Dead, actually, is what it reminded me of kind of to begin with. And just, I don't know, I'm interested to see more about it. It's cool to have a game like that that's unique and different and, you know, it could get a little bit of attention, I guess.
Yeah, the trailer was really rough around the edges, technically.
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know if Nintendo really wants to show that kind of footage off. Otherwise, it'll just give Wii U haters even more ammo than usual. Oh my gosh, those people. But Bravely Second, really excited that this one is coming over to the West. I would have been surprised if it never did. And I guess there was some doubt that it was, but I was like, geez, if Nintendo didn't do that.
The first one sold Default. Very well, very, very
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
It charted on the MPDs very highly, I believe. It was like 3 or 4 or something. I mean, games like that, especially for like the 3DS, you know, handhelds in general, like that means that they beat out a ton of other games that are selling many, many more copies usually. And it charted, I mean, in a single month. That's pretty big. Like, that is saying that consumers still like this kind of game.
Yeah, and it, you know, a lot of people kind of consider it, or it seems to them like it's a pretty niche thing, like a really traditional JRPG game. But clearly there are a lot of people who want that type of thing. So, go Bravely Default and Bravely Second. I will get that game and I will play it. I just barely, you know, obviously shipped off my copy of Bravely Default to a user on Leap Trade, and I never did finish that game because it got so irritating by the end. But I'm sure the developers have learned their lesson. There have probably actually been people who translate, like, Japanese blah 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 reviews and everything like that. And I'm positive that Bravely Second is going to fix those problems, so I'll definitely be trying it out. I'm kind of excited to see how they upgrade the experience and improve upon the original. So that's pretty much all I have to say about Bravely Second. And I think this actually does leave us time for some listener comments. We have some pretty lengthy ones, and I didn't really want to skip any of these comments.
No, these are all really good comments this week. We really, really appreciate all the time and all the effort that people went through in sending these to us. We thank you so much. We really do just appreciate completely. You did miss one comment. I hate to say it. Don't worry, I have it over here on the side. Mike Fulham. He actually.
Oh gosh, Twitter.
Yeah, at Blind Hostility. When our podcast first went up, he immediately talked to us on Twitter and just said his comments. Of course, last week, one of the things that we were talking about was the lack of voice chat, right? And we were interested in what people thought about the lack of voice chat and if it affected
in Splatoon.
Sorry, yes. And we were curious about other people's, you know, opinions of it and if they thought that it was something that was needed or if it was something that wasn't needed or whatever the case may be. So I did have it. Where is it?
He probably tagged me in the tweet too, huh? And this is on Twitter. I just know it.
Yeah.
So,
I swear I had it right here on my window and I must have scrolled past it.
Mike Fulham actually did just tweet me. I put on Twitter, I can mention this. I put on Twitter just today, I guess a lot of people haven't needed a hard drive for their Wii U. It kind of surprised me. So I said it was a necessity for me after I downloaded Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on my Wii U's internal memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that probably took up like half of what I had on there. So I was like, I need that hard drive. And I have been really glad to have it. Mike Fulham replied saying, I have a hard drive myself and the games filled it up pretty quickly. I guess he has a hard drive and it's already full and everything.
Oh, wow.
Sounds like he probably gets a lot of his games that he could get physically. He actually gets them digitally because that's the only way I can think of that you'd be able to fill up your hard drive. I've got a like 500 gigabyte hard drive and I'm still like barely a fraction of the way through filling it up.
I got a terabyte. I went all the way.
I just was wanting to be budget conscious here, so. And I also actually had a comment. I can't leave a comment out if I've already mentioned that one. So I got one from T. Gant saying, I'm starting to feel the pressure, especially with Xenoblade Chronicles X on the way. I basically replied to that saying, like, yeah, this pre-download thing that Nintendo is offering, super big temptation for, like, just getting everything digitally because you can, you know, play it. I mean, I played Super Smash Bros. At, like, 10:30 the day before it came out, 10:30 at night, which I was mm-hmm. surprised about. Thought I would have to wait till midnight, but I got it really quick, and I was pretty pleased about that. So, did you find that other comment from Mike on Splatoon voice chat?
I did not yet. I'm still scrolling. Nope. Another great show. I would have to agree. Here it is. I would have to agree with your points about voice chat in Splatoon. but it does need friends chat at least. So me and you were basically talking about how you were okay with the fact that there wasn't any voice chat because you thought it would make things unfair, and you also didn't want someone who was being too aggressive or someone that was being disrespectful and all those reasons as well. And I agree with that as well. I just think that it needs to have friend chat. That's what I think that it needs. And he was just saying that he agreed with me as well.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel as well. And me and Mike McSurdy are putting together a review that we are both kind of writing together. That's why it has taken so long. We're going to put up a Splatoon review on NintendoFever.com, and you can check out all my opinions there. But let's get into some other listener comments and questions. We had an email from Mykola Kaiba. I hope I said that right. The first thing he did was recommended Chibi Robo for me to get on Leap Trade if I can. So I've already, you know, put my name on the list saying, like, hey, if anyone is offering Chibi Robo, please send it my way. I will pay you the money. And he also recommends Billy Hatcher.
That's a unique game. I've played it a little bit, and that is a weird egg pushing game.
Okay. What system is it on? I thought GameCube. It was like N64. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
It was Sonic, it was Team Sonic's answer to create a new original character for Nintendo.
And interesting.
It's unique. It's different. I'm not going to say it's good or it's bad. It's just Billy Hatcher.
So those are his recommendations for me on Leap Trade and for, you know, anyone who's interested. So the next comment he puts, and I kind of tried to shorten this a little bit, but there were so many good points in it that I didn't leave out too much. So it's going to be a long one. Bear with me. He says, now for Splatoon. The option for voice chat would have been nice, but it's fine if people don't have it. People can always find loopholes around this problem, Skype, etc. I like motion control. I find it more natural than using the right stick for everything. And then he says, I just find it irritating that no gimmicks are in the multiplayer levels. All boss battles feel unique and new in the single player mode. Music is nice, but it needs more musical scores. I agree that single player music should be in the multiplayer. The graphics are very nice for this game. I love the feel of the ink and how it flows. I have played all the modes. I don't care much for one versus one, but everything else feels solid. Turf Wars plays a lot differently than ranked and single player. Free DLC has already begun, and I'm thinking Nintendo knows that they need to release the DLC as soon as possible. I already have played the new map, and I like it. It has a little bit of a gimmick in that there are trucks that move back and forth. I guess that's his final comment on Splatoon. He also says, we're definitely saving this for next week, but I definitely want to mention this. He says, and last but not least, a question or three. What do you think Nintendo will announce at E3? What Nintendo E3 segment are you most excited for? And do you think Nintendo will announce a new Paper Mario for Wii U? So we're definitely going to save that for our big E3 predictions episode next week. But those are the comments from Mykola Kaiba. Thank you so much for the email. It was the grammar was great. Thank you for that. I'm kind of picky when it comes to that, and so it was good. So are there any points in this comment that you want to kind of go over briefly?
Well, first, thank you so much for hitting us up. I appreciate it a lot. I did play the one versus one. My brother came over for a little bit over this last week, and we played one versus one. I didn't mind it. It wasn't like the greatest mode in the world, but it wasn't fun with only two people playing it. That should have been another multiplayer online mode, because you're shooting these balloons and it tells you where to go. So it like makes it like this like King of the Hill / Capture the Flag mix, which is kind of a cool idea. And I feel like it could have been a lot of fun online with, you know, four versus four. One versus one, it just kind of made it boring after a little while. Other than that, no gimmicks in the multiplayer levels. I think that's kind of what he means. Like, it's very straightforward. Like, the Turf War is obviously a gimmick. And I'm not sure if he means, like, he wanted, like, a Capture the Flag, or he wanted, like, a King of the Hill, or what he meant by that completely.
Well, it's kind of like he says with the new map, like, the gimmick in that one is the little trucks that move around. So it's just kind of those things in the map that make it unique compared to the other maps.
Okay. I can see what he means. It'd be cool if one of the levels had, like, a Ferris wheel or something that you're, like, constantly going on top of and you're moving around it. That'd be kind of a neat a gimmick. I see what he kind of means by that.
Yeah, the DLC maps are supposed to be like that, I think. Nintendo described them as, like, once they come out, you'll realize that they're a bit more technical than the other maps. And so I think we're going to get a lot more of those interesting twists in the rest of the DLC maps.
Well, I'm ready for some more maps already. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of playing. Like, it seems like every time I get on, the only maps I get to play are the mall and the skate park.
Huh.
So I'm ready.
They change every 4 hours. And so, yeah, since there's 24 hours in the day, probably during the same, like, sections of the day, which maybe you can only play, like, in the evening, let's say. Yeah, during the evening, it's probably going to be the exact same maps as were there last evening. So,
I hope that's not the case. If that makes any sense at all. I hope that is not the case, because that is
Well, that's what Nintendo said. They change every 4 hours, and that pretty much, like, evens out the 24 hours in a day. So, I think that it's basically the same routine every single day.
I'm ready to play some new levels. That's all I'm saying. The single players is a lot of fun, though. I want to get back into that and play more, because I want to try playing it basically single player for an hour and then multiplayer for an hour. And then if I get bored of either one, I just do the other. You know, and that's kind of what I think is going to be the best situation for this game.
Okay, let's get into our next listener comment. This one also is on Splatoon. It's from Jason Ottermet on Twitter. He says, Splatoon is harder than I thought it would be, but it's pretty fun. Where should the game go for Splatoon 2? So he's basically assuming there is going to be a Splatoon 2.
That's an interesting question, just because the idea of Splatoon is so contained, right? I mean, you can see what they do with, like, Call of Duty. Like, the campaign with all the different Call of Duty games are just a housing for the multiplayer that the majority of people like or really play the game for, right? So at least when you buy a new Call of Duty game, you're getting a fresh, brand new campaign. So obviously with a new Splatoon, they could do a new campaign of some kind. Then when it comes to the levels, Nintendo is doing a very good job of giving us a lot of levels for Splatoon and a lot of weapon variety in this game. That a Splatoon 2, I don't want to say that it's not possible to do a Splatoon 2, because obviously it would be. But it's not something I see them doing in any sort of, like, very soon future. Like the majority of Nintendo games, we usually will see a sequel of some kind, but it's like really far out until we ever see something. If they did make another one, I don't know what I'd like to see in a sequel. I mean, I would definitely like to see more. I mean, I would love to say more weapon variety, but there's already quite a bit of weapon variety. So it would be interesting to see what ideas they'd be able to come up with, because I am definitely not smart enough to think of those ideas myself.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I think I'd like to see a little bit more variety, or no, not variety, balance in the weapon designs, or not just, I'm trying to, more balance in the weapons, we'll just say that, because I think that it is a huge problem. To me, this is a big problem, that the splat charger, basically the sniper rifle type weapon, is completely useless in Turf War. Completely useless.
In Turf War, I think it is, but here's the thing. I bet you when that new mode, the one
ranked
with the...
Ranked battles.
Not the ranked battles, but the new one with the tower on it. You know, the one...
Ah, okay.
I think that weapon is going to come much more usable in that kind of mode. You know, right
now...
Yeah,
but it should have been usable in Turf Wars, because that's what most people are going to stick with, I think.
If we had voice chat, that weapon would be totally awesome to use, because you could strategize with people and be like, you hang out up here, you know, kind of like a sniper would. You hang out up here, you deal with this, and we're going to slowly make our way forward to try and take over the entire map. But because you're not able to set up those kind of strategies with people, that person that has a sniper rifle is kind of like trying to do his best to be like, I can't be seen, and I'm trying to help everyone out, but I'm over here and no one else is around me. Like, it's just very... mixed around, I guess.
I still think it's even with voice chat, there will be those people who pick the overpowered weapons and still cream you whether or not they're using voice chat.
Yeah, but what there's weapons do you think is overpowered?
Oh, to me, there's one clear and obvious weapon that is overpowered. It is a roller, and its special attack is the Kraken. The Krakon,
yes.
Roller.
Yeah, I think
with the Kraken.
The Kraken is definitely overpowered as a
special power.
As a special power, but if players are playing it pretty aggressively, the idea is to never allow that player to get that special. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing, is that the more paint you lay down in blank spaces or over the other team's color, the more you do of that, the faster your special attack will charge. And with rollers, they immediately begin building that meter up super quick, just because they could lay down so much ink and in so small amount of time, whereas a splat charger, as in the rifle, the sniper rifle weapon, that it's really hard to get your dang special charged with that weapon because you're not covering that much space with ink.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it, to me, the crack-on roller, most overpowered thing ever. Anytime I would try to take out a roller using that particular roller, like, I'd try to take him out and at that exact moment turn into the crack. And of course, that is a good strategy, but it's the fact that the special attack builds up so quickly that I think makes it overpowered. So
one thing that doesn't allow it to be too overpowered, though, is the fact that you could also pick that same weapon. You know,
I guess that's true.
In games like Call of Duty, or in games like, you know, other online games, like, a lot of times you're able to unlock things that somebody else doesn't have unlocked, or you can, you know, configure the way that your weapons are kind of put together. And I mean, there's always going to be something that's overpowered, but the nice thing about Splatoon, you know, you are completely able to pick that same weapon. So if you feel like you're being overpowered with that weapon, you yourself could pick it and see if you can harness it as well. My biggest problem whenever I say, like, a weapon is overpowered or a character is overpowered, like in Smash Brothers, I'm never able to, like, take advantage of the overpoweredness, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I was on a team with a crack-on roller. We had one person with the crack-on roller, that is, and he was occasionally able to use that Kraken power-up to kind of swim into enemy territory and do some damage there, but I think there were two crack-on rollers on the other team, and they were just obliterating us. It kind of felt overpowered to me. Maybe they do have the skill, I don't know, and I just don't, but it seems very overpowered. So basically, yeah, our thoughts on Splatoon 2, to me, just make it more balanced. And other than that, we have no creativity and no ideas for that. So I'd love to hear what the listeners have in their head, though, just in case you guys are more creative than us. So let us know if you'd like your ideas.
If you can think of what you'd like to see in a Splatoon 2, even though it's pretty early on in, with having a Splatoon 1, I mean, I would definitely be interested to hear your thoughts about that, because I do feel like this is a series that we're going to see more of. I think that it was a good release. I think it's a good game. And I would not be surprised if Splatoon does not stick around for a very long while.
Yep. But moving on to our last listener comment, or many comments in this case. This is from Rose F. Death. He sent us an email as well. He talks about some of the same points, basically, that we covered last week, and that also Mykola Kaiba mentioned. And just because there's a lot of reading involved in this episode, Matt, do you have the note up for this?
And I do.
Would you like to read Rose F. Death's long list of comments really quick?
Yes, I can. Its first gunpoint here is voice chat. I do have to say that I would like it, but it would have to be used between friends lists only. Don't want older people cursing while kids are playing, but if kids are doing that, it's okay with friends. We don't need the name calling from older people either, which I agree completely, by the way. Like, I don't want it to become a Call of Duty match where just little kids are just swearing and other little kids are, I don't know. It's a very icky place. I don't even know what to say about it. Motion control. I recently switched to using the R-Stick myself. I'm catching on to the new controls, but my brain is still a little used to moving the controller up and down. But I have been doing a lot better since I took off motion control. So
definitely interesting. I still haven't had a lot of practice with just the R-Stick. Last week I mentioned that I've been sticking to motion controls, and I have continued to do that. But he says that he has gotten better since he took off motion controls, so that's a very interesting perspective.
Time to give it a shot, Holly, that's all I'm saying.
Yep.
And then the next one he has is weapons use. In this world of gaming, what weapon is best depends on the person. I've tried a couple of the guns and rollers, never bought the paintbrush, but trial ran with it. Did not like it at all. But I do see some people kicking some booty with it. When it comes to the guns, I'm more of a slower mover. I prefer to just run and dodge, so I'm better with a roller. I do like that each weapon offers a very distinguished set of skills to use it and to use it proper. I'm not a very good roller person. Like, I just can't really get into the flow of using it, but I really do enjoy the splattershot gun. And, you know, I've tried using the sniper rifle a little bit. I've never been a sniper person in any of the other games that I've played. I just kind of like sticking to the basics, and I like using grenades.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Also, the final bullet point here, I thought I'd put this in for fun, but Rose of Death also offered a little bit of smartphone buying advice for myself as well, so I do appreciate that. I read it, and I've been trying to kind of take all the information that I have learned from both this email and from Matt, because Matt's a pro, to go into whether or not I want to buy a smartphone. I still haven't really told myself, okay, I'm getting a smartphone now, it's just which one. I still am kind of on the fence there, but...
You're totally going to get one.
Oh.
I see it happening in your future.
Okay. Thank you for your little crystal ball prophecy there.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll help me decide. I don't know. Anyway, that pretty much brings us to the end of our list of notes here. We made it through everything in a relatively good amount of time. I'm okay if this one runs over an hour a little bit, which I think it has. But that is pretty much concludes the episode. Oh my goodness, we didn't give away the the get close code. It looks like we'll be doing that right now. Yes. So Matt.
Yes. Okay. So right now, go onto your Wii U. Get into your eShop. I'm gonna wait for you just a minute. Okay. So turning it on. It's booting up. Of course, the eShop's already in your quick settings, so you're gonna click it. Okay. It's loading up again. Click on the enter download code, and here we go. The numbers and letters you're going to want to be entering to get yourself a free game that is Play Get Close. Please enter A06SBWCQ2P4NV4WF. And that's it. That's all you have to do. The very first person to enter that code is going to be the winner. First come, first serve. Next week, if you want to get yourself the very last code that we have up for grabs, all you have to do is send us an email. And of course, you can always email us at podcast@nintendofever.com. You can find me on Twitter @OnlyMattDezen. And you can find Holly @OnlyHollyFelmuth. Let us know your questions, your comments, your concerns, anything you think that you could possibly want to tell us. Let us know, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win the very last code for Get Close. Very fun game, great multiplayer, and it's also recently turned into a single-player game as well, so there's a lot of content there for you to enjoy.
Yes, indeed. So here, just a quick question from me. Not that I'm going to enter the contest, but just so everyone else knows. So tweets to us count as entering you in to win that last code, correct?
Yes, as long as there's a question attached. You can't just say, oh, Matt, you're so pretty. I mean, I'll appreciate it, and I'll thank you for that. But, no, if you want to be entered, all you got to do is ask a question, basically. Email us a question. Tweet us a question.
Or tweet us your tweet or email us your E3 predictions. That's going to be our next show.
Actually, that's what you have to do. It's not just any question or anything.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It is the email us your E3 predictions, or not only predictions, but I'd like to know what you'd like to actually have happen this year at E3. Not in the sense of, like, I want them to announce this game, but I want you to say something in a different light. I mean, this year at E3, personally, one of the things that I want to see happen is I want to see Nintendo remind everybody what it is about video games that makes video games fun. And I think they do a good job of that every year. But this year especially, I want them to just come out and say, we're not trying to be Xbox. We're not trying to be PlayStation. We're just going to keep being Nintendo, and we're going to make the games that people seem to really enjoy to play.
Yeah, indeed.
So,
yeah.
Please email us or tweet at us your E3 predictions and or comments.
Yeah, you can also tweet @NintendoFever. I got the password to the Twitter account, and so if you just wanted to tweet @NintendoFever, that would also work. I will see those as well. So that pretty much concludes our show. This has been episode 15 of the Nintendo Fever podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you all next week. See you later.
See ya.